Hello everyone, this is Tim Pichot and it is September 7th, 2018 and welcome to episode 34 of the Liberty Advisor Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the crypto markets, Elon Musk, and Twitter banning Alex Jones. So first I want to get into the crypto markets. It's been quite a while since the last time I've spoke about crypto. And for those who don't know, I launched a crypto IRA service where essentially you can put virtually anything into your retirement accounts, including virtual currencies. So I know there'll be some naysayers out there who say, hey, this guy's just talking about crypto because he wants to, I don't know, maybe suit his own needs. And to some extent, yes. But just realize that, you know, I was putting myself out there big time, way ahead of probably any other financial planner in America, probably any other certified financial planner in America. And when I was just starting off, I went to one of the richest people I knew at the time and had all the caveats of, hey, you know, this could go to zero, super risky, super speculative, you know, maybe someday it gets to $10,000. But that was when Bitcoin was at $30. I mean, how many people are going to have the balls to, you know, stand a conviction on something that they think has some potential at $30? Now, granted, didn't know nearly as much as I know now about the crypto space and blockchain technology, particularly blockchain technology as a whole. I mean, there wasn't really a crypto space certainly back then. And then I had another gumption to mention it to another client at $200 because this guy was, you know, relatively high risk, made a lot of money, and you know, neither one of them did it. And you know, kind of the reaction from both of them were, you know, really so bad, and these were guys who could, you know, afford to take on some risk that decided that, you know, I wouldn't really talk about it anymore. But, you know, also made my first Facebook Live on Ethereum when it was still in double digits. So this is something where I'm not really a you know, Johnny Come Lately, or, you know, not to crunch guy too bad, but, you know, BK Brian Kelly, who all of a sudden, you know, he's on the scene after everything takes off, but, you know, was where was he, you know, back in the early days, or back, you know, even a year or two ago on some of this stuff? Because really, I mean, it was only really probably around Thanksgiving time. It was certainly after October, because I remember going to a conference at the end of October around Halloween time. It may have actually been during Halloween. And basically, I was the crazy guy at the conference bringing up cryptocurrencies. Granted, it was not a cryptocurrency conference. It was a financial media conference. But, you know, when I was telling people what I was thinking about doing back then, and mind you, this is before the big run-up, that everybody thought that I was absolutely crazy. So, yes, I do have some conflict of interest in this, but, you know, realize that, you know, I had to quit my job in February just to be able to give a speech on blockchain technology. And, you know, really my own personal crypto holdings, you know, especially now, I have, you know, taken really a beating because I wanted to invest in creating a business around crypto and to help people in the space, both who became crypto rich through the estate planning side and those who were looking to invest some funds, maybe through their IRAs. Obviously, you know, not putting in all their money, and, you know, got to make a lot of caveats that this is very, very dangerous, and you should only invest in the stuff that you know about, which should be a given. And, you know, a lot of people who were getting into this in November, December, early January only got into it because they heard other people get rich off it. And naturally, human greed takes over, emotion takes over, psychology takes over, and everybody wants to jump in it. And now, and those same people are saying, hey, you know, I wish I got into this at 7,000. I'm like, why'd you wish you got into 7,000? I wish you got into it at 7 cents. And you don't wish you get into it at 7,000 because otherwise you would have bought it at 7. And now that it's a little bit below 7, I think it's like 6,400 last time I checked over at CoinMarketCap.com, is that, you know, those same people want nothing to do with it now, which, you know, I think someday when you back this out and you look at a much bigger chart of this, this is just going to be a tiny blip in what I think will be a multi-trillion dollar market. Again, you can head over to thelibertyadvisor.com/disclosure, and I've got a whole bunch of disclosures about all, I wouldn't say all, many, many, many different things that could go wrong with this potential trade, and different risk factors that are out there. And lastly, I'm not giving anybody financial advice on this, other than the fact that you shouldn't invest into anything that you don't know anything about. But I'm not your financial advisor, even though I am a financial advisor. Unless I, of course, I am your financial advisor, then we should talk about this one-on-one before you just jump into something and get into something that you may not know a ton about. And if you'd like to know more about how we can work together, you can head over to thelibertyadvisor.com. There's a work with us or something like that. Contact us. I believe it's work with us section. And you can fill out a form to see if we're a good fit for each other. And while you're there, if you go to any of the different crypto articles or the crypto section, we're trying to improve the site. I've got a guy who's working on it, not going quite as fast as I would like. But we do, I do offer a free 2-week video series where every single day there's another video. Some are by me, some aren't by me, but it's just different videos that I've seen that I thought were pretty powerful, explaining Bitcoin again, completely free, that you can sign up for that 2-week course. It's if you click on some of the articles, it's contained inside the articles, especially if you go over to like the blog section where it says crypto, or if you go over to the crypto section, and I think you just click on the word like Bitcoin or crypto, and that will pop up. The other thing you guys can do, and I'm going to have some live webinars too. We're thinking early next month, looking to do some live webinars on both on self-directed IRAs, some different crypto strategies, both for the estate planning and for the self-directed side. And what you could do right now, actually, is if you head over to thelibertyadvisor.com, /LP, that was short for landing page, and I use the same landing page for other shows that I'm on, and I custom tailor it with different, but I've yet to actually custom tailor it for my own audience. So if you just go to thelibertyadvisor.com/LP, it's like long play record LP landing page, and what you can do there is you can get both the investor guides for crypto estate planning and crypto self-direct, and more importantly, if you're new to this, you can see the TDV investment summit that was following Anarchapoco, where I gave a 15-minute talk on that, and I would dare you to say that I'm a shill or just trying to promote something to make myself wealthy over here, because what I'm really doing is I'm trying to promote this to help change the world, not to get rich, and I think that I might end up doing both. But either way, that if you really want to help defeat the globalists, doing so through the blockchain is much more effective than trying to do so through politics. And that's something that took me about 10 years to realize, because at the same time I was getting deep into politics, at the same time I first learned about Bitcoin. Unfortunately, did not dive into it nearly as much as I have now, but sort of wish that I did, because I dove into it probably at the very, very beginning of late 2016, early 2017, and I didn't really pull the trigger or anything until Ethereum was in double digits. But anyways, I've as it stands right now, I've made more sacrifices to the crypto community than I've personally benefit, but I do expect that to turn around quickly as word spreads. And you can go back to other podcasts that I've done in the past, other Facebook Lives that I've done in the past, especially at the pinnacle of all this stuff back in November, December, and January. And I've made different references, especially if you go back to I believe there was one in December where I was comparing this to the .com bubble and saying, hey, you've got a lot of basically bullshit out here. You've got a lot of pets.com. And just like how there was a bunch of companies that were absolutely useless and they just had clever names and maybe some fancy fancy domain names like pets.com, and there's plenty of other ones out there. And ultimately there was a lot of bullshit and everything crashed, and even things like Amazon, which still doesn't make any money, but it seems like people don't care about that. You had ones like Apple. I mean, everything absolutely crashed. I believe Amazon went down to $3. This is something I did mention in the video, but ultimately look at it now, and both Amazon and Apple are both trillion-dollar companies. And I think that at the end of the day, and I think in relatively short order, you're going to see the crypto market be at multi-trillion dollars. And the other thing that I did was I made a video on one of the cryptos that at the time was really in favor and was going through the roof. It was actually the crypto that went up the most out of anyone in 2017, and of course I'm talking about Ripple, and I am not a fan of Ripple at all. But what I want to do now is I want to go over a video that I made January 3rd, 2018, which if you go to coinmarketcap.com, which I have no affiliation over, I know I've mentioned it a few times, just where I go personally to check out the price of crypto. I've got some other apps on my phone that are not through them. I think it's CoinCap is the one I use, but anyways, there's lots of good ones that are out there. This is the day before the all-time high in Ripple, which I think it's down close to 90%. If it's not, I think last time I checked it was 87, but I think it's actually down from there. So it looks like it probably is close down to 90%. And I'll go check that while I play the video, but hope you guys enjoy. Today I just want to do a real quick talk on Ripple. So Ripple is really the newest darling of the cryptocurrency space right now. And I've seen a lot of people on here, and let me try to cover up the names here, but people have all these predictions of Ripple getting to $10 and such. And I think that there's such crap, because what people don't really realize is that Ripple, it only shows on here that it has a market cap of about, let's call it $39 billion. But there's really 100 billion Ripple that are in existence. The problem is they're not counting, the company Ripple itself owns 60 billion of the Ripple. So 60 billion And Total Ripple is actually owned by the Ripple. I don't know what they call themselves, Ripple Corporation or whatnot. But then if you go over to, there's a really good video that Tone Vase did. And there's a lot of things I don't agree with Tone Vase about. But Tone Vase did a great video where he shows that here's an email from, this email is from the guy who created Mt. Gox, is also the same guy who created Ripple. So I mean, do you really need to know more than that? So this is actually some inside baseball I didn't know. But the guy who created Mt. Gox, he'd sold his company to another guy. But when he sold it to him, he said, "Hey, listen, you know, there's actually 80,000 here's the email. So there's actually 80,000 bitcoins that are missing, but don't worry, you know, we could slowly buy more Bitcoin with US dollars that Mt. Gox has, and hopefully, you know, we can fill up the loss before the price gets out of hand, or we could buy a big chunk over here." So basically trying to advocate how to operate a Ponzi scheme. And so the same guy behind Ripple is the same guy who basically fucked all the Bitcoin market to begin with Mt. Gox, because he didn't own up to his own mistakes, didn't own up, didn't take responsibility for all this. And then now with Ripple, what people don't realize is that it is the antithesis of Bitcoin. It is a centralized system where everything is sitting on the Ripple servers. They went, they created one, the first block they ever created had the 100 billion Ripple altogether, and now people are saying that Ripple is going to be at $1 trillion market cap. Ripple is going to be at $10. $10 Ripple would mean Ripple would have $1 trillion market cap by itself. Like, I'm going to lose my fucking mind over here with people saying that Ripple is going to be at $10. And great, I hope it gets to $10, and I hope you invest at $10, and I hope we lose all.
And I used a naughty word there, but for some reason the Facebook Live cut off. I wasn't self-censoring there, just for whatever reason cut off. But anyways, you look at other people around the same time who are pretty prominent. Like I crunched on this guy before, BK Brian Kelly, who was telling people on CNBC how they could buy it at $3 and going on and on and on about how great it was. Where, you know, here I am the day before the all-time high, basically saying that there's a major mania going on and people are fucking stupid and they deserve to lose all their money. And during, I won't call it the break because I was playing a video, but it looks like it's actually down 93% from the all-time high. So, you know, yeah, great that, you know, I was, you know, looking at other ones that are down probably 70 or 80, you know, particularly Ethereum. And I mean, Ethereum, you know, if you go back to when I was first investing it, when in double digits versus where it's at now, still looking pretty on that one. But, you know, the greater thing here, though, is there's, you know, about 2,000 different cryptocurrencies right now. I mean, CoinMarketCap, I think, lists, you know, just underneath that, 1,926 as of September 7th, 2018. But then I'm sure there's other ones that it doesn't mention. So let's call it, you know, over 2,000, because I'm not sure if it mentions all the different tokens or different utilities stuff that's out there. But, you know, still to this day, I mean, Ripple is still the third largest one. They're trying to work with the banks. Obviously, as you can tell, not a fan. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, when you back out the market cap, which let's look at the market cap today, just over 200 billion, that, you know, when I think it's going to be at several trillion, this is just going to look like a tiny blip on the radar, just as like in the past before, when, you know, Bitcoin crashed from the 30s down to single digits, or crashed from 1200 down to 100 or 70. I mean, I don't have everyone memorized, but, you know, I do remember, I wasn't personally invested, but I do remember actually going through and, you know, and following this for quite a while. I've been listening to the Peter Schiff podcast, which unfortunately, you know, sort of, you know, outsmarted myself and didn't get into it when I should have. But, you know, it's a lot more than people just trying to trade around fake money back and forth. You've got these decentralized applications that really are going to be, you know, once people are finally starting to realize the censorship that's going on with Facebook, the censorship going on with all the big tech companies, and not only the censorship, it's the fact that other companies are basically getting filthy, stinking rich while socially engineering you, while, you know, basically trying to create this giant, you know, technocracy. And that's a whole nother subject. But, you know, you look at all these companies that are working with, you know, people like the Chinese, where, you know, there's this huge major control grid going on where every single person is tracked, traced, surveilled through facial recognition. And if you, you know, aren't a good little slave or, you know, good little milk cow for the government, then they cut you off, and they cut off your money, and they cut off your ability to travel, go on trains, go on planes, already happening to over 500,000 people in China alone, and the system was just implemented. And I can only imagine that that is the type of system that the tech oligarchs and the technocracy want for America. That's all part of the plan. And that was one of the reasons why I was a big proponent of Donald Trump, is, you know, there's a shitload of stuff I don't agree with, a lot of stuff that I've criticized him on, a lot of flack that I've taken for criticizing him on certain things. But you know what? You can judge a man by its enemies, and there's a lot of good stuff he's done. He's delayed a lot of the, some of this technocracy stuff going on. I wish he was a little bit better. I wish the Republicans were a little bit better. I don't want to get into the Marco Rubio, Alex Jones situation right now. But, people are going to realize that their data is valuable, and that their own data is being used against them. I mean, they know that somebody might be richer than somebody else, so you have to pay a higher price than somebody else. Or they know that you were searching for this on your phone, so then when you look at it elsewhere, it's going to know you really want this. So maybe it will, up the price or be able to psychologically profile you. And the AI in this, artificial intelligence is going to keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. But there's going to be ways through the blockchain where you're going to be able to control your own data. You're going to make sure that these other corporations aren't, profiting off your data, that they aren't, selling it off to the highest bidder. And, for anyone that's gone on Facebook and has actually, gone to the different targeted ad sections or try running ads, it's actually quite incredible how actual detailed you can get on this. But guys like myself who've been completely shadow banned over there, why am I going to try to waste my time, energy, effort, and resources trying to build on a platform that at the same time is trying to shut me down and wants absolutely nothing to do with me or my method? So I don't know how many of these, horses, so to speak, are going to win. Is it going to be, four different cryptocurrencies, 10, a dozen, 20, 50? I don't know, but I know it's not going to be 2,000, and they're all going to have slightly different purposes. I mean, Bitcoin right now, is the strongest and most secure from a security standpoint. But, if you look at, Bitcoin Cash, they actually are more like Bitcoin than what is known as Bitcoin. And that's a discussion that's probably better for another day. But I did do a talk with Roger Ver, who's known as Bitcoin Jesus, and pretty controversial figure in the space. And this is a guy who had a lot to potentially lose. And the short version on this is one group of people said, hey, there's a scaling problem, and what we need to do is we just need to make the block sizes bigger. That way we can process all the transactions, which was basically sort of laid out in the white paper. And another group said, no, we need to create these off-chain transactions and these different lightning networks, and we need to create these centralized hubs and make it so it's not peer-to-peer and do this whole thing that's unproven and untested. And then we're going to also make the block size twice as big if you just pinky promise that you'll stick with us. And then they ended up reneging on that promise, and they didn't end up making it twice the size, but they ran into a ton of problems. And that's why the price of some transactions were getting up to $50 and $100 back towards during the mania. And if all of a sudden people who are getting into this and thought it was fast, cheap, and instant way to send money, and all of a sudden now it's well, compared to the banks, a pretty fast way, but it could take days or hours to get your funds transferred and cost you a ton of money. Whereas Bitcoin Cash was, cost next to nothing. They recently did a stress test where they ran, I don't know the exact number in front of me, and I should probably go look that up. So let's just bear with me just a second here. So it looks like, according to Cointelegraph, they had 2.1 million transactions. It caused no surge in the fees. And actually, I think the fees went down, and I think the fees were like a third of a penny. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. I'm not sure where Bitcoin's at right now. It's probably like, maybe 18, 19 cents, which, compared to $50 is pretty good. But you look at a third of a penny, and all of a sudden now you've solved the micro transaction problems. You've solved a lot of other problems. And another thing that was going on is you've got Shapeshift.io that a lot of people have been giving a lot of major criticism to, maybe somewhat rightly so. But Eric Voorhees, absolute genius in the space, a guy I respect a very great deal. And, obviously people probably came to him and said, we're going to mother F you unless you, get a hold of this stuff. I doubt, it was of his own doing, or, I'm sure he saw, the writing on the wall. Maybe he's got some other decentralized project that, he's anonymously working on behind the scenes, and and who knows. But, you know, you look at the headlines, and I think I read one on, of course, you know, Yahoo Finance, you know, probably the worst place to get your crypto news from. And it was something like, you know, Bitcoin tycoon backpedals big time. And it sort of alludes to the fact of you've got a Bitcoin tycoon that all of a sudden doesn't like cryptocurrencies anymore, when, you know, that's not the case at all. It's just that, you know, now you've got to create an account there, or maybe shortly in the future, you have to create an account there. But it had nothing to do with him backpedaling from his actual stance on crypto. And another thing I wanted to talk about was, and this is something I've heard Eric Voorhees mention before. I've heard him mention it on the Peter Schiff podcast way back in the day, or maybe it was the Peter Schiff radio show. I might be dating myself on this, but what Eric was saying, and I fully believe this, is that if you were investing in, let's say you put $10,000 down in Bitcoin in when it was at $3 or $30, it was a better chance of you losing all your money, I think, back when it was at, you know, $3 or $30, versus putting $10,000 in today. Now, the risk reward, you know, from the reward standpoint, was a lot more back then, obviously, because $10,000 buys you, you know, a shitload of Bitcoin, whereas now it, you know, basically buys you maybe almost one and a half. And that's just you know, something that I think a lot of people just don't really appreciate. So that was one cause for concern. You also had, it looked like you've had some ETFs, a lot of them get rejected, which, you know, if a big pension fund, retirement funds, other people want to get into the space, they can already do it through the unit investment trust. So, you know, I don't know how much, I think it will be a big deal just from the space that if everybody thinks it's a big deal, then all of a sudden it's going to become a big deal. So sort of has a self-fulfilling prophecy from that standpoint. But and I do see there are applications where it could be useful, especially if you can write options on it, especially for people that are working in Bitcoin-related industries. Talked with a gentleman the other day that runs a bunch of ATMs, and, you know, his problem is, you know, when things were, you know, going up, and, you know, the price of everything was, you know, going to the moon, you know, he would sell Bitcoin for cash, and he's all, you know, regulated through FinCEN and does all the KYC and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the problem is, you know, his U.S. dollar value was going up, but what was happening is that his Bitcoin value was going down, because he would have to, he wasn't able to basically rebuy into Bitcoin for another, you know, few days because of, you know, how long it takes to, you know, move money around in the traditional system. And so let's say, you know, he had one Bitcoin and somebody bought it from him, and now maybe he had more money than he had before, but maybe now he only had like 0.95 Bitcoin, because that's how much that the US dollar, even though it was a higher amount, it bought him less Bitcoin. And if you are a hardcore believer in crypto, you're interested in how much crypto you have, not what the USD value of it is, which is just a different mindset and different way of thinking. And I think the ETF market, once you can write options on it, will be able to help people out like that in that situation. But you'll also see a lot of people who are going to use it to speculate. So, you know, ultimately the ETF thing, you know, I think the best way to hold on to it is to actually hold on to it and not to, you know, trade it, and certainly not to, you know, have somebody else holding on to the private keys, which is one of the main benefits of the system that I'm setting up right now. Because even if ETFs come out, yeah, it'll be better for some of the smaller dollar investors. But if you are looking, and it will also, you know, the devil, the details will be in the devil, or the devil will be in the details. You know, it's a Friday over here, and brain's, you know, sort of fried. But, you know, it really depends, you know, if it costs, you know, 4% a year, or it costs 2% a year, you know, then maybe it's, you know, not going to be such a great thing after all. But, you know, there is a steep learning curve, and as long as it's, you know, and maybe there'll be some insurance components to it as well. I know people like Lloyd's of London were, you know, have insured certain people. And, as, you know, it could be a good way to, you know, baby steps to get into this type of market. But ultimately, you know, you want to make sure it's a peer-to-peer cash and not actually using, going through financial institutions, and certainly not going through the likes of Goldman Sachs to do this. And speaking of Goldman Sachs, you know, another catalyst for the price decline was that they apparently were ditching their trading desk, but the CFO, according to CCN.com, so I think that's a coin, I'm actually not even sure what the CCN stands for, probably should do it, but I'm talking fast now, so I can't think when I'm talking fast, and Yeah, so Goldman Sachs wants to get into this, and because apparently they were going to suspend it, but they're not suspending it, and that was a catalyst for things to go down. So go figure. I mean, who would have thought that, you know, Goldman Sachs would be moving the Bitcoin market, the crypto market? And speaking of Goldman Sachs, is and one of the reasons why I'm so optimistic on this, on the future of this, and again, talking about Goldman Sachs being optimistic are two things that probably do not go hand in hand. But if you look at a guy like Patrick Byrne of Overstock.com, he was absolutely screwed by Goldman Sachs, and he found out that they were naked short selling his stock. He knew mathematically that there was no way somebody could be shorting that amount of stock and actually owning the stock, because he knew what he had. He knew what other investors, bigger investors had as the CEO and founder, and was like, hey, and I think he spent, the story goes, he spent like $34 million. He won 35, so profited $1 million, but you know, there's a lot of other easier ways he probably could have made $1 million, but it wasn't about that. It was about taking a stand. So what he did is he created a company, T0, and I'm not recommending this. I mean, it's, you know, it's a very risky investment, but you know, I do like the philosophy of what they're trying to do and what they actually are doing. I believe this is going live at the Boston Stock Exchange soon, but they're having a way to, and it's called T0 because the transaction, the T, settles instantly, so that's where you get the zero. And so what they, in the financial space, they call it like T, it used to be T plus three, then it went down to T plus two, so that means the transaction day plus 2 days before you'd be able to get your money. And this is a way to trade an asset and get your money immediately in your account. So for day traders, this could be awesome, but it also, you know, really prevents a lot of the malfeasance and a lot of the shenanigans, to put things in, I guess, layman's terms, from going on. Which is a great thing. So, you know, sometimes, you know, being pissed off at something, you know, better to, you know, I would say he's really getting even on this. And it could be something to absolutely, you know, change the world. And it really then leads the discussion of saying, hey, if you want to, you know, trade a stock with this person, so you're going to have basically in the future, I believe you're going to have tokenized assets where instead of buying a, you know, a stock like you do today, you're going to buy a token that represents the stock. And it's that token that can then be traded through an exchange. Eventually, the token hopefully will be able to get traded through other people. I'm not sure, you know, I'm sure there'll be some regulatory hurdles between doing that. And then even in the future, I think you'll have some sort of like atomic swap type deal where, hey, let's trade, you know, a Bitcoin for X amount of units of Apple stock, but the Apple stock will be a token and you'll be able to swap it. And they refer to that as an atomic swap. And again, it really just kind of depends with the regulatory framework of being able to do these types of things. And I believe JP Morgan has like 175 patents on this type of stuff. So, you know, it's something that's definitely out there. And, you know, it's funny seeing guys like Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan Chase badmouth crypto, why they have, you know, over 100 patents on blockchain applications and technology. I'm not a patent attorney, so I don't know if they're doing that to, you know, be able to like kill competition in the future, so that way they can just shelve these. I'm not sure if that's even legal, if you're allowed to do this, but I'm sure there's lots of shit that they do that's probably not legal or that you shouldn't do. But, you know, kind of moving gears here, is another thing I wanted to talk about was the Elon Musk interview with Joe Rogan. I'm about halfway through it. I think I'm an hour and 21 minutes through, and you've got another hour and 23. So there's probably some ads at the end, so I'm probably exactly halfway through. There's some ads in the beginning, so either way, halfway through. And haven't gotten to the smoke and weed part, and there's a lot of criticism that I have of Elon Musk. I told one of my clients, one of my better clients, and actually a friend of mine, the day before he put out the infamous tweet about taking Tesla private, that, you know, this is something that I would not touch with a 10-foot pole. He sort of disagreed with me, which is fine. I mean, he works in the battery space, so it was, you know, something that was kind of near and dear to him and, you know, really appreciates Elon as an innovator, which I do as well. And, you know, I just thought that, you know, that from a, you know, cash flow standpoint, they're just burning cash. They're very, very highly dependent on basically government subsidies, whether it's SolarCity, which is now rebranded as Tesla, and just full disclosure, and the house that I recently just sold, I mean, I put Tesla, which was SolarCity at the time, on my house, basically because, you know, the government basically like pays you pretty much to put it on the house. And, you know, it's like, okay, you can put no money down, you get a gigantic tax refund, you plow the tax refund back into the loan, and now you're paying less money to pay off the loan than you are for energy And yeah, it's environmentally friendly. I mean, not the major reason I'm doing it, but you know, it is nice being in Arizona and, you know, being able to run the air conditioner nonstop and maybe leave the door open for the little kids and not really have to worry about it. So, you know, that is pretty sweet. So I am saying this to somebody who has personally, you know, supported Elon Musk. I'm not, you know, not rooting against him or anything, but you know, I think that as it stands, it's not a great stop from an investment standpoint, but again, that's only my own two cents. I'm not recommending anybody shorting this because, you know, I thought this probably back when the stock was worth hardly anything at all, and I would have been wrong the entire time. But, you know, I think there's an old saying that you can be, that the market can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent. And, you know, if I would have shorted Tesla, you know, a couple years ago, that would have been the case. You know, just sort of coincidence that I made that one comment to my client and friend right before, you know, the infamous going short tweet. And one interesting angle of this is a guy I know, Joby Weeks, made a Facebook comment that said something like, well, maybe if he's trying to go private by smoking weed on Joe Rogan's podcast, he makes the value of his stock plummet, then which would then make the prospects of going private even cheaper. So, you know, maybe the guy's this big time super genius after all. Now, I don't really think that that is the case, and you know, Musk has got plenty of problems to worry about. And if I was his PR people or HR people, which you know would be I think actually his HR person just left, and another accounting person just left, and after being on the job for a month, so I mean they have their problems. But for me, it all has to do with some of the fundamentals and just burning through cash and being reliant on the government is, you know, my big problem with them. And also, I mean, how many people out there can even afford these cars now? If they can find a way to make their, you know, $35,000 car and, you know, actually make it where it doesn't run into tons of problems and be able to keep up with demand and actually, you know, profit off each car, then I would change my tune. But for right now, you know, I'm not really that bullish on it, obviously. But the other thing I don't like is the big pylon of all of a sudden, oh, he, you know, took a hit of weed on the Joe Rogan podcast, and now, you know, this proves that he's absolutely fucking nuts, and he needs to be, you know, canned as the CEO, and we need, I mean, I turned it on CNBC, I mean CNBC, and that's all, you know, all they were talking about is, and they just kept replaying the clip. Since I am halfway through, I did not get to that clip, but I did get to the part where he was talking about whiskey, and it's really, you know, profound. You know, some of the stuff that they were talking about were real big issues that people should be talking about. I mean, they're talking about artificial intelligence and the singularity and different problems that are going on in society. I mean, where's the government trying to stop, you know, killer robots that ultimately you will have AI that gets weaponized probably through like DARPA, which is, I think, the Defense Advanced Research, whatever, that are responsible for lots of bad things going on. And I think they're also responsible for the internet we're on as well. But these are serious, serious issues that need to be addressed. And I did actually, I saved the part where he goes right before he takes his first shot of whiskey or sip of whiskey.
Hang on to human machine symbiosis through the long term. And then people may decide that they want to retain their biological self or not. I think they'll probably choose to retain their biological self.
Versus some sort of Ray Kurzweil scenario where they download themselves into a computer?
You will be essentially snapshotted into a computer at any time. If your biological self dies, you could just probably just upload into a new unit. Literally.
Pass that whiskey. We're getting crazy over here. This is getting ridiculous.
Down the rabbit hole.
Grab that sucker. Give me some of that. This is too freaky. See, if I was just talking to one of my...
A long time, by the way.
I believe you have. If I was talking to one of my... Cheers, by the way.
Cheers. Yeah, this is a great whiskey.
Thank you.
And all of a sudden, you know, he's drinking whiskey and smoking weed. I mean, again, I have not gotten to the smoking weed part of this yet, but I mean, he's, you know, definitely maintained his composure. That was about 36 minutes into the podcast. Listened to it for another about 40 minutes so far. And, you know, he's not a guy that sounds like he's off the rails, like fucking crazy. It's a guy that sounds like a genius. Now, I think he's pretty much running, you know, a borderline Ponzi scheme over there at Tesla where they just need a bunch of new investor money. And if you need new investor money, then you don't want to go private. So, I mean, I think it's sort of, I think he sent out that tweet to burn the shorts which, you know, ultimately now through his own actions, he's, you know, basically helped those guys profit, unless, of course, he was trying to take the company private at a lower level. But why would you take the company private if you do, in fact, need more money because you're burning through money, you know, faster than, like, MC Hammer back in the early 90s? So I did not think that this pylon is fair at all. I look forward to listening to the rest of the podcast tomorrow when I go on a little bike ride. And, yeah, I think the last thing I want to talk about is Alex Jones briefly. There was quite a great exchange between Alex Jones and Marco Rubio, another one between CNN's The Fake News Network, Oliver Darcy, who is a little rat weasel that was the one who lobbied to kick Alex Jones off the air, and Alex called him, I think, a rat weasel, which Oliver Darcy then went and tattletaled on him and then got Jones a lifetime ban. And my big problem with Jones is, why don't you, instead of, you know, bitching about trying to get back on the system, why don't you start promoting other systems that could be done through the blockchain that could absolutely, you know, hammer these guys? So you want to, you know, help enrich Zuckerberg, you want to help enrich, what's the guy's name, Jack Dorsey over at Twitter. You want to help out, you know, Sergey Brin and all these globalists and all these technocrats. You know, we should be focusing on the bigger issue, which is creating a world where they're irrelevant and we own our own data and we can get paid for posting on social media through different cryptocurrencies of you know, using our own weight through this meritocracy that they've created, you know, particularly through applications like Steemit. I know there's another one that was actually, I found out through the Joe Rogan podcast, called Peepeth, which is sort of the Twitter alternative to for the blockchain. I've not actually gone on it. I've used Steemit quite a bit. It's getting better and better every day. There's new, it's this great experiment that's going on. And now, I mean, they have a DTube Live. You've got, which is, you know, part of Steemit. You've got DSound, which my last podcast was the first one that I've put up there, so you could actually find me on there. Not sure if anyone's even listened to it on there, if people are even listening to these podcasts. Hopefully they are. It's been much harder to reach people ever since I got the major shadow ban and decided that I would, you know, stop going on there. But I just wanted to, you know, if you haven't seen it, I'd go check out the exchange between Marco Rubio and Alex Jones. Just nothing else. I imagine people that are watching this or listening to this, which you will be listening to this, not watching it, because I'm not doing a video today, which a lot of times I'm doing video, but, you know, it's Friday, a little tired, ran 10 miles. I don't know. I thought I was going to say another word, but yeah, I ran 10 miles today. Feeling pretty good, but I am feeling a little bit tired. Didn't want to perform for the camera today. Just wanted to perform to do a podcast. But anyways, hope you guys found this, you know, useful when it comes to the crypto stuff. And again, head over to thelibertyadvisor.com/LP. And you can get on the two different presentations I've done. One's 15 minutes long, one's an hour long, and you've got the two investor guides as well. And then people that are signed up for that, I will send them links where they can get on a live interactive webinar in the future. And just because you can invest into virtually anything does not mean that you should. You should take incredible care with anything you do. And there's a lot of exciting things that we're working on. So if you're interested in self-directed IRAs, interested in alternative investments, interested in protected growth strategies where we can help protect the downside as well as give you more upside, especially if you are invested in bonds. So I want to say a caveat there that when I say give you more upside, that a lot of people have, you know, 20, 30, 40% in bonds. And for those people, if we get that percentage down to zero, but we do some other creative techniques where we can actually give you probably less downside risk and way more upside potential, then you know, really it's a win-win for everybody. Also, if you want to support us, you can go to defeattheglobalist.com, where I've got a lot of great t-shirts. Got, you know, Americans before illegals, Americans veterans before illegals, all sorts of stuff like that. Some shirts to support the president. We've got all sorts of, I guess we'd call it, you know, patriot apparel. So that's defeattheglobalist.com if you guys want to support the podcast, because, you know, ultimately, you know, off basically $1,000, I was able to reach, you know, several million people from a standstill leading up to the election. So money that is spent with me is money that is well spent. You know, unless you're, you know, a flaming liberal, then you probably don't want to spend as much money with me. But if you are an actual classical liberal and, you know, a real liberal, then you probably won't mind it. But if you're one of these fake progressives, then you probably hate everything I say and you probably didn't even make it this far anyways. So at this point, you know, screw them, because I'm not even talking to them to begin with. But, you know, who else? I mean, you're going to give your money to Karl Rove, you know, even all these PACs. I mean, dollar for dollar, I was, you know, more effective than the Russians, more effective than just about anybody else out there. but, you know, I need help. I would like to be able to afford video editors. I'd like to be able to afford, you know, people that can help do graphics, because believe it or not, you know, that stuff matters. Having, you know, a nice graphic in the front, you know, really helps increase attention. But, you know, I'm just one person over here doing this podcast, and I know all these little tips and tricks would help. And, you know, I sacrificed a lot to help make sure Hillary didn't get in. And, but at the same time, I don't agree with everything that Trump's doing. But, you know, I think it's way better than the alternative. So at this point, hope everyone has a great weekend, and I will talk to you later. Take care. Bye.